Fewer than 3 in 10 petrol stations across Russia reported having petrol available this week, with queues showing up in Moscow and retailers imposing strict purchase caps. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan. This show curates big threads from online communities and is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today is August 20th, 2026. That petrol number is where we start. Saudi textbooks quietly dropped the line, "The Muslims will never give up Jerusalem," from a recent edition. A small-sounding edit that analysts tie to the kingdom's Vision 2030 push toward moderation and possible diplomatic signaling, with education watch groups noting the curriculum now leans heavier on coexistence and critical thinking. Watchers on the World News subreddit split between seeing it as pragmatic modernization and seeing it as political whitewashing, so watch whether the change becomes a talking point in any Saudi-Israeli diplomacy down the road. Anthropic's invisible watermark for AI-generated text, introduced to meet the EU AI Act's detection rules and the law's penalties of up to 3% of annual turnover, was quickly met with practical defeats. Within hours, developers published tools and techniques that strip or disrupt the mark, including a widely referenced open-source remover, translation and rewrite tricks, and simple paraphrases, a pattern the Europe subreddit flagged as a predictable tussle between regulators' detection tools and the engineering community's habit of beating brittle signals. The short takeaway: expect watermarking to be a contested, arms-race-style patch rather than a durable fix. New satellite imagery and reporting show the Caspian Sea corridor is being used more intensively to move goods between Russia and Iran, a route analysts call a hard-to-patrol lifeline that Western navies cannot directly monitor. And commentators quoted by investigators warn this corridor lets both countries build sanctions-resistant logistics. The geopolitics community noted U.S. officials are watching closely because cargoes are opaque and the route can quietly reinforce a closer Moscow-Tehran partnership. Watch for more attention from intelligence and possible interdiction attempts.
Russia's fuel crisis just went domestic in a way few expected. A recent monitoring snapshot puts petrol availability at fewer than 3 in 10 stations nationwide. And in Moscow, drivers are facing queues and rationing that caps purchases at roughly 30 to 40 liters per vehicle, depending on the company. Measures authorities and retailers say they've introduced after Ukrainian drone strikes damaged refineries and export infrastructure. The technical anchors are stark. Industry sources estimate damaged refineries now account for about 54% of Russia's refining capacity, cutting daily petrol output to roughly 75,000 to 80,000 tons against typical summer demand of 115,000 to 120,000 tons, a shortfall near 35% that explains why the government has had to relax fuel quality rules, reintroduce low-grade Euro 2 to Euro 4 fuels, and scramble for imports that, in some cases, are stuck at ports over price disputes. The immediate effects are twofold and urgent. Ordinary Russians are facing higher prices and engine risks from lower-grade fuel, which the marketplace and commenters on the World News subreddit have noticed with a mix of schadenfreude and sympathy, while independent reporting and military sources indicate the shortages are already constraining logistics lines, from troop convoys to resupply chains, which matters for the conduct of the war and domestic stability. Politically, President Putin has publicly downplayed critical consequences, but the optics of rationing inside a major oil exporter are painful, and the policy response is messy. Temporary bans on exports, negotiated imports from friendly partners like Belarus, and price renegotiations with suppliers, all while the scheduled refinery maintenance in Belarus threatens a fresh squeeze in September.
The tactical takeaway is that Kyiv's strikes on energy infrastructure have turned into a lever that can bite into domestic politics and military logistics. Not decisive on their own, but part of an escalating toolkit. And economically, this episode exposes structural vulnerabilities in an export-heavy energy sector that can't instantly reroute barrels into pumps. Watch three things in the coming weeks. Whether Moscow can clear the supply bottleneck without long-term quality impacts to consumers, whether logistics disruptions measurably affect military operations, and whether domestic pessimism, which polls already show has spiked to levels comparable to the early 1990s, translates into political friction or policy shifts. Switching theaters of economic pain to the other side of Eurasia, China delivered a legal endpoint this week in the Evergrande saga when the Shenzhen Intermediate People's Court sentenced founder Hui Kaiyan to life imprisonment after finding him guilty of sustained embezzlement and corporate bribery and levied fines of 8.82 billion yuan against Evergrande with an additional 7 billion yuan fine on its Hengda unit while ordering recovery of illegal gains and restitution where recovery falls short. The court's language accused the companies of inflating assets and concealing liabilities over a multi-year period, closing a chapter that began with Evergrande's 2021 liquidity collapse and the revelation of roughly $300 billion in liabilities that left thousands of creditors and would-be homeowners exposed. And that collapse has been a fulcrum of stress for China's property sector and wider financial system. For markets and politics, this verdict does two things at once. It provides a form of accountability that many creditors and embittered homebuyers have demanded, which the economic subreddit welcomed as overdue justice, while also functioning as a strong signal from regulators that Beijing will criminally enforce corporate malfeasance to restore market confidence. Critics on the forum cautioned that prosecution may also be political signaling designed to shore up trust rather than a pure rule of law moment. The practical fallout is complicated. Large fines and life imprisonment do not automatically return completed apartments to buyers nor replace the lost deposits of ordinary purchasers.
So the policy test moving forward will be whether regulators pair enforcement with concrete mechanisms for restitution, tighter oversight of developers' financing, and clearer consumer protections. Otherwise, the verdict risks being a headline more than a systemic fix. The cross-border lesson ties back to the Russian fuel story in an unexpected way. When core economic sectors, property in China, energy in Russia, hit acute stress, the domestic, social, and political ripple effects can reshape diplomacy, markets, and everyday life in ways that linger far longer than the initial shock. If these two developments teach one practical test for this year, it's this. Watch whether states can turn legal or kinetic pressure into predictable remedies for citizens rather than episodic headlines that leave ordinary people holding the losses. I'm Alex Morgan. Debug the hype.